Blog Talk Radio.
Life after dust, 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 life after dust. If you living like we living, then you get it how we get it. Life after dust, 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 life after dust. If you living like we living, then you get it how we get it.
Yeah, shout out to Fed J. Dog, we gonna make a way. Now sit back and listen to these bars I'm about to say. Hit the button, young, and get loose on that beat. We get it in the booth like we get it in the street. Yup, good night, end of my flight. Good morning, good evening. Best believe I tell you a story. You better believe it. If the world was in our palms, we break it in pieces. We a different kind of animal. Take it or leave it. Heart frozen, cold blooded. We belong in a freezer. We hotter than the Bahamas on the beach with a heater. Yeah, call me Mr. Popular. Can't see me with binoculars. Shout out to the haters and everybody who knocking us. Steady J got interviews, intermission, and interludes. The baddest model chicks and the real rap spitting dudes. R&B and gospel and all of the above. And it's all on one show. And it fits like a glove on the
life after dust, life after dust. Life after dust, life after dust. Life after dust, life after dust. If you living like we living, then you get it how we get it. Life after dust, life after dust. Life after dust, life after dust. Life after dust, life after dust. If you living like we living, then you get it how we get it.
Steady J, what's good, my dude? You keep doing what you're doing, fam. Keep showing love to all us unsigned artists, man. Good things gonna come back to you, homie. I salute you, B. Life after dust. Y'all now tuned in. Holla.
Oh, what's up, everyone? Welcome to Life of the Dust Live. This is your boy, Seti J, and it is a beautiful Monday on the show. Man, y'all, I haven't played a theme song on the show so long. We had to bring it back. We're going to bring the theme song back because it's been a while, and it just feels like Rocky coming out of a ring when you hear it. So, I'm definitely glad to have it back in the building. Now, on today's show, Mondays are hot after dust usually, but today's show and the rest of this week, on Tuesday show and Wednesday show, this week is Women's Literacy Week. And what Women's Literacy Week is about is highlighting female authors and storytellers. You know, they basically have stories that help. They help go through each different cycle in a woman's life, that being from childhood to their teens all the way to their adulthood. In these different stories that each of these literary masters have accomplished, go to each of those stages. Today, Griot Melody Afi Bell, she will be on the show today, and for those of y'all know what Griot is, it is Swahili for a storyteller, and she'll be coming through to be discussing of how she actually became well known across the southwest of the United States with her beautiful stories, accompanied by songs such as one of my favorites. I got a chance to see her do live, Jumbo, and hopefully we get to do it today because y'all. Telling y'all that it gets you excited. If you're an adult, it makes you go back to your childhood when you hear it. And it might be Women's Literacy Week this week, but it doesn't mean that males can't feel involved in it, because it is a story that males can get involved, can get excited about too. Now, tomorrow's show is going to have Miss Erica Mills Hollis on the show, and she has a lot going on with her. Her as well. She has a publishing company called Precious Heart Publishing, and some of the literary masterpieces that she has put out are 365 daily inspirations and quotes for the fascinating teen girl, as well as she has another one that y'all had to check out. So, yes, you had to check it. And y'all find out more about that one on tomorrow's show. And then Ms. Sheila E. Lipsy will be on here on Wednesday. And she actually has a plethora of stories. And her whole series of what she's put out books is called Perfect Stories of Imperfect People. And basically she has all these different stories that goes along with that theme. And such as one that actually I have the book I have now that actually have pieces by each of these people. Of course I have the DVD by Griot Melody. I have tomorrow's show I actually have the book 365 Daily Inspirations and Quotes for the Fascinating Teen Girl. And I actually have a copy of My Son's Wife on Wednesday show. So, you know, we actually have the books and pieces of these people that we're talking about on the show. So it's not just something that is popping up. So I actually got a chance to meet them at the 4th annual DFW Literary Fest about a couple of weeks ago, and it was definitely a treat. So it was definitely a treat to see it happen, and what's not? I'm a bird. So what we gonna do? We're gonna go ahead and call up our guest of the day. So everyone, hold on. One moment. Some of the stuff we talked about last week. It is a very deep discussion I thought about in the back of my head. And it's been going in my head for pretty much most of the day. And one thing I'd say is, yeah, I don't necessarily agree with Stacey Dash on going for Romney. I am definitely against that. Definitely against that. I'm against it, period. But what I had to say is, what I just think is people are being oblivious to is the fact that, you know, these people that you still support that are supporting Romney, but you come and bash Stacey Dash. Because I bash her. Trust me, I bash her. I mean, you ain't going to still rock with her. Everybody makes messed up mistakes, even in their political thought processes. But at the end of the day, I still like her work. But to go into that point, how do we know that, you know, the owner of Facebook, how do we know that Mark Zuckerberg isn't going for, you know, for Romney? How do we know that this, the people that own Twitter aren't going for Romney? We can go down this list forever and ever and ever. The people that own, you know, Instagram is owned by Facebook. But, you know, it's going to that point. We're spending so much time. We're spending so much time going in on her that we're missing the whole point going in on these other people. Like, we're really missing the jump on that one. And I just feel that, you know, I just don't like it, because I feel like it's a political machine that's just sucking people into just really more so focusing on black on black. And yet again, it's getting crazy, because, as I said, we're still supporting all that. Everybody's like, I'm not going to support it anymore. I got to. But at the end of the day, as I said, we don't know what, because, like, one of the things is, you know, she chose as a celebrity to sit there and share her political thought process. And really, at the end of the day, that's a hard decision, because you don't necessarily have to, but the fact you do, you kind of put yourself on a back burner versus people who, I mean, you depend on people who are opposed to whichever side you're on. So, you know, the fact that we don't necessarily know who Mark Zuckerberg is going for, who the owners of Twitter are going for, we can't make an inference. And yet, you know, and that's like I said, let's say that both of those entities were supporting Romney. Would you sit there and all of a sudden not support? Would you stop using Facebook? Would you stop using Twitter? I mean, would you stop using Instagram? Instagram is owned by Facebook. So my question is, would you stop using them? If you wouldn't, then shut up. Keep it very simple. Shut up. Because it's not making any sense to run around here and act a freaking fool. But you're not gonna do that. So I'm actually, you know what? I'm inspired. I'm gonna be putting out a YouTube video about that. I just put a YouTube video out about thirstiness, and basically the whole thought process on how people call everyone thirsty. But sometimes, why are we calling people thirsty when people are inviting thirstiness into the process? Like, for instance, if a chick decides to show her body off on Facebook and doing all these sexual positions, and then some dude comes to say some comment pertaining to it, can you necessarily call him thirsty? Because you're inviting the behavior. That's what I just don't understand. Like, people are just so, you know, they're so fickle. So, really, I mean, I got to sit here and think about this for a second, man. Like, really think on that and really think, Are you part of the solution, or are you part of the problem? Because if you're part of the problem, then I don't know what to say for you. I'm a lost at words for that one. Alright. And as far as some other breaking stuff as well, today is actually the last day to vote. To nominate. Life After Dusk Live for a podcast award. And this year, y'all, we're trying to get one. So definitely, definitely. over, some love. Go to it, and I think right at midnight is when it stops. So go show some love, man. Like, it's definitely going down. So as far as that too, man, like I said, I'm just very excited that another big thing that's happened for me too is the fact that today actually marks me. I actually got a new job. And, you know, with that, you know, I basically am doing what I do now, talk my behind off on the phone. So, oh, man, it's something that I'm definitely grateful, you know, that the pieces fell into place to be able to have this happen because, you know, finding a job in this job market right now, especially find something that fits you and not just settling, is so hard. It's so hard to find something that fits you and not just settling for something. And, you know, not only just, and also with the settling too, you know, you got to go through them paying you chump change. All right, so hold on, you got to call on the line. Alright, so I said that's how my whole thought process is. Guess who's getting ready to come to the building? And like I said, just think on that for a while, y'all. Think on that very heavily to make sure that you think, like, before you sit there and try to just, where you sit there and run around and talk crazy about people, make sure that you follow suit with what you say all across the board. Because, and be thankful for little things, because you never know what could happen. All right, so we're going to go to the phone line because I believe that is our griot, Melody. What's up?
Yes. Yes.
I'm glad to have you in the building. You know, you took me back to being a little kid when I actually had a chance to see you perform. It was, oh man, the adults were acting more like kids than the kids were.
Yes, because oral history and oral telling stories is from 0 to 99. And beyond, you know?
And so, that being said, I'm kind of, for those that don't know the background story, let one know how you actually led yourself to become a griot.
Well, I used to teach public school, and I had special students. So I would tell them stories, so I decided to let them start, like, acting out the characters, because really some of them would never be able to read because of their disabilities. So I would take stories and make pictures out of them and let them be the characters. So I'd do from characters to pictures. So I got so busy that I started to become the chairperson of the cultural committee at the school. And so we did a story for Black History Month, me and my class, and we became the head of the school. So I invited a lady I know to Deuce, who was a storyteller, and I invited her to come. And when I saw her, I said, shoot, I can do that, but I'll snazz mine up with a drum.
You know, I love it. I'm telling y'all, and I'm not just saying because she's on the show. I tell you, every time I tell somebody, I'm like, oh, man, guess what? Man, I should have been there. You know, I'm sitting there like it's funny, like it's actually my, you know, I feel like I'm like, when I watch it, I was like, man, this woman has, why is she not like on PBS or something? Like, it's like one of those, because you know how, like when Nickelodeon had all the different ethnic shows or whatnot.
Like, yeah, I have been on PBS before.
I mean, they need a regular show for you. I mean, not just a show. They need a regular show for you because if people saw that every day, especially African people seeing that every day,
yes,
just the whole mindset of how they portray themselves and how they feel about themselves every day would be so much different.
Yes, yes. And by teaching little stories that teach morals and values and understanding, it affects all of us and it helps us feel good about ourselves. Because basically like the history of Freemantown. Have you heard of Freemantown, Texas?
Yes, I have.
Okay, that is our city that it was at one time covered from White Rock Lake to West Dallas here. Okay, that's how big, all the way to Forest Lane, that's how big the land that used to be owned by black people are here in Dallas. So, and one way to find out some of the places there were, South Africa, South Boulevard right here off of Martin Luther King Boulevard, okay? Then you can, I have someone calling me, just ignore. Then you can also go to Dallas Heritage Village, and that is a lot of the buildings that were built by black people in this part of Texas, our Texas area. So when you go out and see a lot of these old buildings building, because who was building houses in America in the 70s, 80s, 1900s? Okay?
We were.
Right. So when you see a lot of these old buildings, if you check the dates when they were built, you will know that black men built them. So I'm fortunate to be able to quit. Sometimes it gets a little rough in my business. And you know, as y'all young people say, they have all the player haters.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the arts. It's a ruthless business, even on the scale of just local. It can be a very ruthless. But when we know that history, the first black woman who had the first school in Freemantown was from Waxahachie, and she was influenced by Booker T. Washington, and she built the first dormitory and girls' school in Freemantown. Okay? And see, all they put is that little small monument there on the service road of Central Expressway, which is good, but with over 3,000 remains, so if they tell you they found over 3,000 remains of black people in Freemantown, you can bet it was 9,000, okay? But they only put, they say, 1,500 of the remains in the Freedmen Cemetery there. We had the Penny Savings Bank, which was actually the bank of all the black banks in this country in the 20s, in the early 1900s, up to the 30s, we were the Penny Savings Bank, okay? And one sister came to Freemantown as a dentist, and once she was the only dentist, so two black male dentists moved in, so she formed the Royal Arts League, okay? And this one other dentist, he not only came to be a poet and also a historian of Freemantown, but he put his office in the Knights of Pythias, okay, which is this building that's abandoned right here on Martin Luther King, right next to Freeman Fashions, okay? The Knights of Pythias building is just sitting there, and it's a historical monument, but none of our educated black people in Dallas will go and remodel that building and open it up as a historical landmark. So history, as my husband would say, history is the best reward of all research. And when we study it, we just expand ourselves, you know?
Yeah, and going off that point, because, you know, a lot of people made it, and one controversial thing that happens a lot is people that's trying to learn about themselves. And when I say learn about themselves, I mean as in learning about the origin of the African history, because once you start getting deep into it and really start, more and more you get deep into it, the more stuff you start realizing are lies and deceit that's been going on for years.
And even the word itself, African, is a European origin. Okay, it's of European origin. We just clarify and just say we are indigenous, okay? We are the original. And when you study that, even in history, we were here. We are the Trail of Tears in America. Okay, that was us. Okay, we're the Trail of Tears. Okay, a lot of people say, oh, the Indian people call Indians. Okay, then that's me. Because we were all over everywhere. We were all, every piece of land was black people all over the world. Okay, so what is it? What is Africa is our throne, but the world is our home. Okay.
And you know what? That and going off the point you said, where you know, with as far as being Native American, being Native.
Yeah,
you know, they played us into thinking, no, to thinking, hey, you know, if we change, because that happens in every aspect. You really go and pay this in every aspect of some of these things. If they change the meaning of something just a little bit, it can exclude black people.
Yes, yes. And that oral history that may never be heard of again unless it's passed orally. If it's not passed, I have one of my good friends say I look like one of Marie Laveau's sisters from New Orleans. You heard of Marie Laveau? We don't want to deal with that word called voodoo or voodoo. Marie Laveau had 7 daughters, and they were all different shades of black. Okay? And she was very influenced, because when you deal with the voodoo or the voodoo, it comes from the Haitians. It comes from along the Caribbean. And all of those symbols that we use were our deities, and we had to change the names of the deities to hide our culture. We had to hide our culture. So it's quite a lot of history that needs to be told, and we need to also research. And right now I'm working on doing the history of Freedmantown. And if you know any local people, I'm going to be doing calling all actors and artists in a minute, because I want to do the history at Miss Berry's farm that's in Hutchins. Now, Miss Berry's family brought their property right there on the borderline of Dallas and Hutchins right after slavery, her grandparents did. And right now today, Hutchins and Dallas are steady moving her borderline over, moving her fence, reducing her 70-something acres. And so she has also a historical plot, historically with her family there. So that's a lot of local history we don't know, and it's present history that's right now. Okay, right here in Dallas. Once they came through with the Katy, Minnesota, what is Katy, Kansas, Texas Railroad, that's what split up Freedmantown. Okay, then after that, here comes the Highway 75, that completed it. And once they built that city place in 86, that just took all of the black community. That was the very last Freedmantown. But when you have our historians, they'll say, oh, Freedmantown, North Dallas. It was just Freedmantown is Freedmantown, and Dallas is Dallas. Okay? And it's, you know, and it's the history where at one time, you know, Dallas was so little, you had black people had a riot, and they burnt downtown Dallas, and they hung 3 of the brothers who they caught at the 8th Street Bridge. Okay? They burnt downtown Dallas. And many people don't know that history, okay? So having to know what we had and what we built right here in Dallas and right here in America is so, so, so undertold, underrated, because, see, we'll go straight from slavery to the civil rights movement. What happened all in between now?
Well, you know, when the truth starts being told, people start realizing. Because then people will say more power. The more you know, not they say knowledge is power, and it's not just some cute phrase. It really means if I know, whatever I know can give me more power over something. And
yes.
Simple things, they take away the knowledge. If they hide the knowledge, they hide the power for you. That's simple.
Yeah, so what other days are y'all going to do this? Tomorrow also?
We will be on the show tomorrow, and tomorrow's show we got author Erica Mills Hollis, and she's actually going to be sharing one of her stories, which is called 365 Daily Inspirations and Quotes for the Fascinating Teen Girl.
Well, that's very good. I work part time at a Dallas Heritage Village, being an educator, and so I interpret one of the houses on this property. And have you heard of a shotgun house?
Yes.
Okay. What do you know about a shotgun house? What is the old myth? They were built because you could shoot a gun from the front door to the back door, right?
Right.
The actual word is pronounced two-gun, meaning one room wide and three rooms deep. These houses were named by the freed Africans on the island of Hispaniola known as Haiti, and they built them on the coastline for the breeze. In America, there was a civil war, of course. After the Civil War, there was a housing shortage. So these were the quick, efficient houses that they built starting in New Orleans, and they spread all over to the East Coast, all over America. So instead of saying two-gun, they mispronounced it and said shotgun.
So a couple more questions I have for you. One is when talking to children, because you do this a lot. What's the easiest way to sit down with a child and break down their history, even though they've been told something for so long?
Well, a good way with children is to do it with alphabets, with songs, with simple stories, and you have to have simple words explaining it to them. But it has to be started pretty young, because once they get to a certain age, a lot of young people don't want to hear it at all. So it's basically the simple words that you get a simple book about history, and they have a lot of them out there, but Pan-African Connection. Go by and get you small children's book and make it fun with the children. Let them act out the characters. Let them even make crafts for it. If it's a story about Fannie Lou Hamer, be sure you have a picture of Fannie Lou Hamer. Let her play like she's Fannie Lou Hamer. Okay? If you have a picture there of Frederick Douglass, let the young man be like he's Frederick Douglass. Because the big myth is, Lincoln ended slavery. But Frederick Douglass had to carry the document to him three times before he signed it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a
there
simple.
You go.
Yeah, many people don't even know that. Okay, and they even praise Lincoln. And so I interpret this particular shotgun houses that I'm talking about. That comes from Freemantown, right there on the borderline of Freemantown in Dallas, where Dr. Hall Street built 10 shotgun houses when slavery ended because he needed workers for his rich friends. Maids, cook, butlers, and because during that time in the 1900s, we couldn't work in Dallas unless we had a work permit. You would be lynched or put in jail. I had to squeeze that out of my father, who worked in Dallas. Okay, I had to squeeze that. If we didn't have this card, yeah, we'd be put in jail or they'd lynch us.
Just like how they do the Mexicans that come into Texas and need a green card, we basically went through the same exact thing, but we live here.
Yes, we went through it, and we lived here, and we built the country, and we had to carry a card. Because, see, again, our men had all the skills, okay? So, of course, they didn't want to pay us, so we went off into the woods, and we built our own cities. That was all over. It was not just a Freemantown. It was not just a Greenwood. It was not just a Rosewood. It is so many cities and towns that we built that, you know, the documentation is probably up there in where is it, D.C.? It's up there. Believe me, it's documented in the Library of Congress. It's there. Okay, we had our money rotated in our community probably 20 times because we could not go to them. Okay, we could only buy whatever goods we could buy from them, and they jacked up the price 3 times what it was. Okay?
But you know what's up? Right now, we don't, you know, impeding people, we didn't go, oh, why he bring that up? But it needs to be brought up. Well, I mean, it's ironic you say that we rotated our money around 20 times, but now
it don't even go around
rotate our money. It's ridiculous. We won't go to a mom pop shop that has the quality stuff we're looking for and spend 10 cents more to support a black owned business. I just don't understand that.
Too high. Well, if you go to them more, their price will lower. If you go support them, your price will lower. But
exactly.
We don't want to go to support because we've been tricked, we've been bamboozled, and it's up to us to get the children when they're young. And now you have to get them even younger. I've been doing this for 20 years, and twice I've told a child to shut the hell up in 20 years. So I think that's pretty good. For 20 years of telling stories, I only told a child to shut up twice. Shut up.
We had to give it to you.
Hate that, because you know people don't know. But when we start with them in the womb, you got to get to these sisters. And right now, what is it? I don't like the word parenting classes. I don't know if I should say leadership classes. We need training classes. And it has to go come with the women, because the women raise the families. Okay? And we have to get to the women. They have closed so many schools in South Dallas because of low attendance, because, of course, we run into the suburbs, but they're giving them all the vouchers for the housing assistance and sending them to the suburbs. Okay? Because they want inner city, because, of course, they tired of driving back and forth. But see, what they're doing, they're taking their houses that's in these suburbs, and they're getting them on Section 8, right, or housing assistance vouchers. So they're getting paid every month for that house, and then they'll come and buy them a house inner city, okay? But they still own that house out there, okay? And that's what you see now. We're moving out. They're forcing us out of the inner city because they're moving back in here because of the businesses. But we have to make our own business. They right now on off of Haskell, it's a black lady who's a pattern maker. She makes clothes for me. Even though I sew, but I get busy. In that building was one of the first fashion houses in Dallas. Right there off of Beeman and Haskell, where they were taking people cars when they had a, what is it, when they tow people cars, right off in there. In that building, they have a factory, but the white guy tell her she can't put no factory in there to make clothes. But there's some white women in there, and they have Mexican women in there, and they have a factory. Because I caught them coming down there with a whole basket of stuff one day. Okay? And how much do black people love clothes? Do we love clothes? Yes.
She
do we make any?
We buy clothes like crazy.
Yes, we love clothes. We need clothing factories. A brother made the shoe machine. We love buying all these expensive tennis. Ask my son, they only got them tennis when I saw some A's and B's on their report cards. Okay? They would have the slang, Payless shoes ain't got no grip, make you fall and brush your lip.
Yeah, I know. If people just get more desensitized, more, it gets to a point where you just want, just throw me off a cliff.
Yeah, grip, see? And homeboy got them tennis shoes so high, you don't have them tennis for our children to afford those tennis. Come on. And Jan Messenger made the shoe machine.
What's sad about it is people kill, steal, or whatever just for them shoes. It's sad to see every day. I get tired of seeing it.
Yeah, but we were going to say it's going to get better because we're gonna open up our own businesses. We're going to be forced to. Like Mr. Farrakhan said, we got to be whooped some more. Okay? We're going to have to be whooped some more because our most of our church's money is not rotating to the members. It's rotating to those few who are in the pulpit.
Exactly.
The money is not rotating with the congregation, okay? And what they're going to do when they tell them they're not going to be non-profit, that's what my man say. They're going to stop them churches from being non-profit after a while. And see, right now, they're opening up faith-based schools. They're taking money from the public schools to open up these faith-based schools where the teachers don't have to be certified. But yet all of them people sending their children to these faith-based schools, you still paying DISD school taxes. Okay? And you're putting them in the schools where the teachers don't have to be certified. And they're faith-based. And most of the charter schools do not deal with culture and arts. Most of them, they don't deal with that. Because all they need is their Christian religion. They don't need that. And the only arts they're going to have is basically gospel music and the praise dancing. Now they're doing the mimes. They don't want mime crazy, where they painted their face. That comes from a white man who was imitating us. Okay? Mm. They would paint theirs black. Okay? They would paint theirs black because they believe the white one was an evil spirit. Okay? We don't even know why we're painting the face white. Okay? And they have mind ministries. I have some young men I used to teach. They family have mind ministry. So I said, well, do you do anything miming besides just religious music? No. Right now they can't get no work because that's all they do is religious miming. I said, well, how about painting red, black, and green? Oh, no. Okay. Marley, get up, stand up with miming, you know. We have to be diverse, but through the arts and through culture with music, right now they took it all out. I went to a workshop the other day because I work with many arts organizations. So we had a workshop last week. The workshop is a group called UNESCO, and this big UNESCO would be all of the countries in the world who deal with culture and education. Culture and teaching is the same. This white guy told us at the thing, America had not been included because America do not do culture and teaching. Okay, So right now, this white organization, Big Thought, that I contract with, they're getting ready to be a model for the country for teaching artists. Okay, because everybody from other cultures, first thing you're going to learn is the earth, then you're going to learn the rhythms. Then with the drums, you're going to learn it. It's a way of life. Whereas America, they don't want it. They don't even want them to have maps in the schools. No maps in the schools like it was when I was coming up. They got a little bitty globes. When I was coming up, they had a map that would take them
anymore.
A whole black
globe. They barely got globes anymore. That's sad, Zing.
Globes, okay? But because America do not deal with culture and teaching, okay, UNESCO's finally accepting them because of this company right here in Dallas that I contract with, Big Thought. They have finally become a part of what's called UNESCO because they did not deal with culture and teaching. America don't want to deal, because if you learn your culture, you okay, like I said, if you put up a black Jesus in the black church, ain't nobody going to come. Okay, oh, no, that ain't true. What can we say?
All right. Now, as we get ready to come to a close,
yes, sir.
What I got to say again, it's definitely been a pleasure having you because, you know, just being able to talk with somebody who knows how to break it down, not only knows how to break stuff down just to adults, knows how to do it to children, is just refreshing to see. It's so refreshing.
Well, give thanks. And everybody, I'll have my website updated for upcoming events, www.griotstoryteller.com. And I will update it. You know, Kwanzaa is coming up. I'll be doing Kwanzaa. And also the Harambe Festival is the 27th at the Martin Luther King Center. So I hope to see you coming out. You in Dallas. come to the Harambe Festival. We will be having the talent show for it Saturday at Pan African at 2 p.m., raising money for the Harambe Festival, because the city ain't giving them no money no more. The city was giving them money all those years, but what they did with we have, like Carter G. Wilson said, we have lost management. We don't know how to manage our money like we did before integration. We know how to do it, okay, because our money circulated. So I just encourage mothers, please, when you work with your children, read to them, read. They got the Kindle now. I'll kill a Kindle. I like turning pages.